Hey there, folks. It's Bathroom Steals Broadsides yet again, 6 to 8, Civil Rights for the Poor here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We're going to try to grab one of the guest hosts or possibly something in between. I'm not sure. This man in the studio is also involved with Art and Revolution, and I understand they're scheming to put some big, heavy puppet cops on the street to deal with these crazy, sleeping, homeless people. So stay tuned for more of that on Bathroom Steals Broadsides for the next 2 hours here on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Eisenhower vaccine, England's got a new queen, Marciano Liberace, Santayana, goodbye. We can start the fire, what we've always known is the world can turn. We can start the fire, though we couldn't ignite it, but we'll try to fight it. Joseph Stalin, Alan Carr, Nasser and Prokofiev, Rockefeller, Campanella, Communist Bloc, Roy Cohn, Walter Ron, Toscanini, Dacron, Gengen, Boom Falls, Rock Around the Clock, Einstein, James Dean, Brooklyn, Battle, Winning Team, Lady Blackett, Peter Pan, Elvis Presley, Disneyland, Bartow, Budapest, Alabama, Khrushchev, Princess Grace, Katie Grace, Trouble in the Suez.
We can start the fire, and there's always colors as the world designed. We can start the fire, we did it right, and then we tried to fight it.
Little Rock, Half the Night, Mickey Mantle, Kerouac, Sportsman, Joe and I, Rick on the River Quiet, you're the long shot to go, California baseball star, with a homicide, turning up the little mite. Oh, come on, Buddy Holly, Ben Hurst, Case, Monkey Mafia, Hula Hoops, Castro, Enter is a no-go.
Don't. Yes, we do. Good. Hey there. You are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and this is 96.3 FM, and I am Robert Norris, and this is Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. And we have Shanghai'd, one of the people running the last show, who we're going to attempt to engage in conversations. This man actually has a secret identity he has not yet revealed to his radio audience. He is, in fact, not only a police officer, he is a big police officer. Officer, I understand that you... How tall are you?
Geez, how tall am I?
I understand, if I'm not mistaken, that you are one of these large, 12-foot-tall, somewhat cardboardish-type officers that can be found in the Art and Revolution group that's going to be doing some active, well, some would call them skits or drama, but I would say they're simply a representation of real life down on the, I guess you'll be in front of the town clock from 9 to 12 on, what is it, February 19th?
Well, there's a few things that are going on here. There's going to be this coming Monday, there's going to be a demonstration going on at 11, and then the following Saturday as well, I believe that's the 20th, a week from this Saturday, there'll be a demonstration. These are all starting around, like, in front of the post office, and there'll be little, like, kind of interactive theater things.
A demonstration? What's this about, anyway?
Well, we're going to be, you know, the whole camping ban thing. We're going to put it to the streets, to the people, and I'm going to be actually one of the...
Camping ban? Aren't you talking about the laws that protect our community from these messy, poo-poo-ish type campers who are mobbing the entire city and overrunning it with litter and feces?
I'll be there to enforce the Santa Cruz City Ordinance section,
6.3, 6.010, perhaps?
That's the one.
Well, I'm glad that somebody is on the ball. You know, I know that the task force to examine the camping ordinance, which I just came from, incidentally, from 4 to 5, have been doing a merry job blathering away about how they're not going to change the law. And here you are reassuring us, as perhaps you should be, that the law is going to go on as usual. We are going to have safety and order in our streets and in our bushes.
Well, you haven't heard the latest news. I've heard the latest news, because if you were watching our theater performance, you would see actually that they did decide decide to make changes. Well, I mean, according to, of course, the theatrical representation, and art is life, and et cetera, et cetera.
So there are some changes, officer? Spill it out. I mean, you are the police. You run the show, so therefore, give us the story. Or as Judge Mulligan says in his court, tell us the facts, officer.
Well, we'll be passing out tickets, of course, for people to appear at our performances next Monday, and then also the following Saturday, and of course, at the city council meeting on the 23rd, when it looks like this is going to be talked about. You have any more on the situation on when, if it's going to be talked about? Or
I definitely do. I came from Catherine Byer's traveling dog and pony show, or the task force to examine the camping ordinance, or should I say to ratify the camping ordinance, and to ignore the sleeping ban, which of course is the aspect of the camping ordinance that some of us had hoped, beyond hope, would be dealt with in some way by this new liberal city council. But on the 23rd, indeed, as you point out, is a city council meeting. And that council meeting will be happening at 3:30, probably, maybe at 3, they're sometimes early. And at 7, that's the key meeting. 7 o'clock considers ordinance changes. And there's usually a period of half an hour when one does, or can do, if Mayor Byers is gracious enough to allow it, public comment. And that's a period of 3 minutes when, if you haven't spoken the week before, and if it's not on the agenda, and if they don't decide to put 2 hours of other items in front of it, as they did last week, I should say 2 weeks ago, then you will be allowed your opportunity to speak for 3 minutes. Unless, of course, Councilmember Rotkin interrupts you with some comments or points of order, which actually hasn't happened much. But then there is going to be an item about the camping ordinance. Now, rumor has it, we don't know this is true, but the rumor has it the task force is actually going to present some new language in the camping ordinance. Nothing so radical as making it okay for a homeless person to sleep at night. We wouldn't want to go that far. No, but I'll tell you some of the changes in just a moment. But why don't you first tell me what kind of things, officer, you're going to do to make sure that order is maintained in our city?
Well, me armed with my toy... everybody, I hope everybody out there knows this is going to be a toy water pistol.
Well, James, Happy John Dine was armed apparently with a toy gun, and he certainly got his comeuppance, didn't he?
Well, I'm going to be armed with a neon water pistol with my cohort cop, and we're going to be doing a little dance, and we'll actually be enforcing the new camp that will be open, of course. This camp... Fellow
buyers, perhaps?
Well, this particular summer camp, year-round camp, we might have to actually do without the total will of the community.
Christopher Crone has told us that one of these months, somewhere down the road, we can get a community consensus. He assures us that something is going to be done.
Well, something just might be done. And we'll just have to see what that's going to be, I guess.
Before that community consensus happens, you say you're going to establish a camp, and this is going to happen on what date?
Yet to be determined. But just be ready with the camping gear, and we'll see if we can, maybe a vacant lot people know, or we can just set up a camp.
We need roasts for the homeless. Is this the idea? I mean, we know these homeless people could get a job if they wanted. They are homeless by choice. They wander the streets, bothering the natives, distressing the horses, and generally causing consternation. Now, are you going to attempt to dramatize the need to purge ourselves of this group of lowlifes?
No, made the conversion, I have to say. Of course, I'm as a police officer, I'm only enforcing the law laid out to me by our city council, of course.
Now, wait a minute. This ticket here says, citation, all ye curb sitters, loiterers, insufficient consumers, and scofflaws are hereby given notice to appear 1 to 3 p.m. Saturday, February 6th, between the main post office and Espresso Royale to witness a theatrical depiction of illegal activity, camping, and or sleeping without a permit. We now have a phone call without a permit. Hang on for just a second.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
There are no more empty lots in Santa Cruz.
Well, I thought there were lots of lots.
No. That's going to be a problem because they're starting to build all these things.
So are you suggesting that this is in reference to what color?
He was talking about putting stuff up.
I see.
And the point I'm getting is that they're putting in more and more buildings downtown. So we can't have these campers here because it would be... It wouldn't be...
There ain't no room. Why don't they go to Fresno? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Well, there's this nice...
Salinas has good houses.
There's this really beautiful, nice two-story building across from Loudoun Nelson that is going up.
Oh, there. You're referring to the $13 million police boondoggle station?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With its indoor shooting range. Maybe some
Maybe
people
turn
should...
the shooting range into a shitting range? No, that sounds inappropriate. I don't want to say that on the family show.
Maybe some people should take that over.
Are important, I have to
and maybe camp out and sleep in it.
Well, you know, I have to say that while I have
just
great,
an idea, a thought.
Of course, the greatest respect for our police. I have to say that, you know, I mean, how many buildings do we want to turn over to the police department? I mean, indeed, prisons are an important aspect of our modern Santa Cruz society. Without
gotta
them,
pay
where
for
would we
prison.
Be? You know,
got to pay for those prisons. Yeah, got to pay for those $12 million police stations.
Well, $13 million actually.
$13 million now. It was originally $9 million.
Well, mistakes will be made.
Yeah. And they have new patrol cars now, all nice new ones.
Oh, that's good. Infrared
nice scanners. Undercover sports
they
cars.
Check out those homeless people in their sleeping bags.
Yeah.
Make
well,
sure
you
that
know,
nobody's hiding in those vehicles.
We're building up in this town, and we're moving too fast. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, obviously, that was some kind of malcontent individual who has no respect for the kind of work, officer, that you intend to do on February 6th when you're going to have a 1 to 3 p.m. espresso royale. Oops, you're right. What happened? Today is it's not the 6th.
These are practice runs here.
Practice runs here, but...
It's very confusing. Oh, I remember it rained on February 6th. So, in actuality, are you having another event? Is that happening at another time?
Oh, yeah. Well, this coming Wednesday, everybody mark it on the calendar, meet 11:30 at the end of the Pacific Garden Mall down there by the post office. Unfortunately, officer myself cannot make it that day, but I will make it the following Saturday, but my fellow cohorts will be there.
So expecting people to wait till Saturday? This was a long camping event as they wait for you to show up.
Yeah, you know, the surprise appearance.
You're not going to be there, but somebody will be taking your place, officer, or should we say exerting your authority, leading the people forward into their proper bend-over postures?
Exactly. So I got to get running now, but I encourage everybody to come down, check it out, Art and Revolution. You know, maybe we'll make some more energy we get into this, the more big puppets we can make, the more... grandstand. We're going to be sealing it off and making a crime scene. Well, you'll just have to come down and check it out.
So, all kidding aside, folks, there is a conspiracy afoot here to, should we say, fill the downtown with large 12-foot-tall puppets to dramatize the fate and plight of homeless people outside who are, in fact, busted for tickets, for sleeping. And if they're not getting these at this exact time, and there has been sort of a cessation of tickets, we have to admit there's still harassment going on, tents being slashed, and people being given the runaround, or should we say the move-along, by police, or at least there has been within the last 2 or 3 weeks. I don't want to say there have been any reports in the last few days, because while I've heard stories of people being beaten in the last week, I have not heard people being arrested by police for sleeping, or even moved along for sleeping. So I would like actually all you folks to give a call. Our call-in number is 427-3772, and let us know how you have been faring at the hands of our police officers. Let me, before we go any further, however, turn briefly to an interview earlier that I had with Janet Riley. Janet is a social service provider. Actually, she's an attorney in Fort Lauderdale, Broward County. And she is in Florida, where it is actually legal to sleep unless you can show that you have a shelter space to give a homeless person. A police officer cannot arrest a homeless person in this situation. She's going to talk about that a bit. And while she does, I'm going to try to get the rest of the show ready. So hang with us for this interview and for the rest of Bathrobes, Beers, Broadsides. We're on the line talking to Janet Riley. And Janet, you're with the Legal Aid Service of Broward County?
Well, Florida Legal Services.
Florida Legal Services. And we spoke a couple months ago about the Pottinger decision and the impact of... Was there actually a direct impact of that decision on Fort Lauderdale? I understand you're in a different county than Dade County.
Right, but we're in the same federal district.
I see.
So, and what basically happened was that in Broward County, Fort Lauderdale to be specific, the city... created a safe zone, basically so that they could fall within the Pottinger decision and arrest people who were sleeping on the beach after hours, and et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And this happened back in 1992?
Right. That sounds right.
And was the effect of this safe zone to...
Actually...
Sorry?
I'm thinking 92 may be a bit early. It's probably in 5 years ago.
That was about 1994 then.
Right.
Because you know, the Pottinger decision came down in 92.
Okay, it was a little, yeah, we were, I guess, a little slow.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
So, what was the impact of this decision in terms of the number of arrests? Any sense of that?
No, unfortunately I really don't. Except to say that, you know, that due to the fact that they created the safe zone, you know, they certainly continued to do the arrest. And, you know, if they had, you know, I guess if they hadn't created, they believed, and probably rightfully so, that if they had not created a safe zone, they wouldn't feel free to arrest.
And was the effect of the safe, did they put, like, porta-potties in the safe zone?
Yeah, what happened was, basically, they set aside, originally it was in a park, a part of a park, and they put up porta-johns and so forth. Porta-johns basically was it, and then I think they had, like, a running water hose kind of set up or something. And then...
Before you go any further, how big is Fort Lauderdale? How many homeless people are we talking about?
There's supposed to be approximately 5,000 homeless people in Broward County.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're going to think I sound really stupid, but I don't... Hold on a second, I might have it. What the population of Fort Lauderdale is.
The person I just talked to in Miami didn't know the population of Miami, so don't feel stupid.
This must say something about us, but I'm not sure what. Hold on. I don't have it. I could get it easy enough for you, but I don't have it.
We're talking in Fort Lauderdale, 5,000 homeless people or less than?
Well, in Broward County. There'd be less within Fort Lauderdale.
Right. Fort Lauderdale is more than 100,000 people, you think?
Oh, I think so.
More than 500,000? Not sure.
Probably not.
So this, how many people use this safe zone that you know of generally, you know? Any stats on that?
You know, people don't generally stay. So, I mean, it's not, I don't know how, the unduplicated count of people that have used it would obviously be much higher maybe, but you can think of it in terms of the fact that at times the population has been as high as, you know, close to 400.
And is this in a residential area, a business area?
It's downtown Fort Lauderdale.
And downtown Fort Lauderdale is what, for those of us who don't know the city, what surrounds the park?
We skipped a point here because they moved it out of a park.
I see.
Into a parking lot in the downtown area.
Why did they do that?
Basically, political pressure from the residents around the park area.
Now, did that indicate that there was problems or just apprehensions? What we're trying to figure out in Santa Cruz is where, if anywhere, we could locate a safe zone and whether that has caused difficulties in other cities.
Basically, you know, I don't know that it caused problems for the residents in terms of, actual, like, say, robberies or, or assaults or anything like that. I think they just didn't like them hanging around. They didn't like the homeless people hanging around.
Any stats on an increase in crime? Did you ever see any verified...
Well, except that I have never seen anything that indicates that crime goes up. When the safe zone was either in the park or here in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Nobody's ever produced any stats to say the crime increased.
Are there more cases of people crapping and pissing in the streets or less?
Yeah. I would have to say that's less because once they moved it into the parking lot and we filed a lawsuit about the conditions, they did bring in trailer restrooms and shower facilities. So I would say, yeah, in terms of, taking the public domain, your bathroom or what have you, that's got to have gone down.
Now what about the number of people coming to town? Do people flock to town to use this safe zone? Was there an
No. I mean, you know, the misnomer, especially since we live here and we have great weather, is that, you know, all these homeless people flock down here even before there was a safe zone. And that's not necessarily true. Studies have been done to show that primarily, obviously some people are from other places, but predominantly the population of homeless people has been in Broward County either have been here all their lives or are long-term Broward County residents.
And you know what those studies are? Do you have copies of those studies?
not on me, unfortunately, because I'm at the office, and if I had anything like that, I probably do have some stuff like that, but it's at home.
Maybe you can get it to me in the next few days.
I'll try, yeah.
I'll give you a fax number before we hang up. Are there people who dispute your analysis? I mean, are those who say Janet Riley is an advocate, she's got a partisan position here, in fact, more and more people have come to town because of the safe zone? Are there people who claim that?
Well, I would think that, you know, probably the only people I've heard that would make, I don't know that anybody would claim that the safe zone has drawn them. Now, the city's position has always been against, for example, there's been for years here, the program that is now called the Cooperative Feeding Program that feeds homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
It basically has a facility whereby people come in and get a meal. There's also a program called Love Thy Neighbor, which actually does that on the beach and has, you know, and has meals for homeless people. Now, the city's position had always been that the reason people, you got rid of those feedings, then homeless people wouldn't stay in Fort Lauderdale.
And is...
But I've never heard anybody claim people came because of the safe zone.
What about the... There's a concern in Santa Cruz that if, for example, I don't know, parts of the city are opened up for sleeping for homeless people or safe zones are established, or let's say the court orders that there be a complete lifting of the camping ban here because there's a complete shelter crisis where, you know, 95% of the people for 8 months of the year have no shelter and yet are forbidden to shelter themselves, that if this happens, that there will be a backlash against social service providers. People will get angry at the homeless and they'll stop funding social services. What, has there been any indication that it, is there an analogous situation that happened in Fort Lauderdale, and is that true?
No, because, see, the whole funding cycle situation has been that, in fact, it's opening up as we speak, that once the safe zone was created, the city was had to, well, it was costing the city money, obviously, to keep the trailer restrooms there, do the security, to do the cleaning, etc. And the city was never happy with this arrangement, but they didn't do away with it because they wanted to be able to arrest. But because of the pressure from that, basically, that was probably the catalyst. Broward County now has a homeless assistance center. It has 200 beds, I believe.
What did it have before?
We didn't have anything. We had some service providers who had beds. Okay. But we didn't have a homeless assistance center per se.
And have a lot of people flocked to town to use these services?
No, because see, well, right now what's happened is they just opened it. In fact, what they did first was only take the people from Tent City, which is what we referred to that parking lot. And so at this point, it's not even open, you know, fully and completely. No, I don't think there's any sense of people coming for that.
And is your position shared even by those who might have more hostility toward homeless people? Or?
No, I would find it hard to, you know, I've never heard, let me put it this way, I've never heard anybody say, oh, the homelessness center is going to draw homeless people in here. I think they've objected to it based on the fact they don't want homeless people hanging around, and, you know, it's going to create crime in my neighborhood, et cetera, et cetera.
And has that happened? Has it created crime?
Well, it's too new for me to accurately say that, but I think that in reality, it won't, because they promised the neighborhood a lot of things, one of which is that the residents of this will not be running around the neighborhood. And plus, I think studies nationwide or whatever, and I know I don't have any of these, but that is, when you create these kind of situations, that crime does not go up.
So you haven't heard of an influx of people coming into town to either take advantage of the homeless services or the safe zones?
No.
And you certainly have good weather down there.
Oh, yeah.
You have a university community nearby?
Your university community? Oh, yeah. We have several, they're commuter schools primarily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do have some campuses here in Broward County, sure.
You have... a situation where there's a number of, we have this big distinction that is made by some people between the homeless by necessity and the homeless by choice. I happen to think it's a bogus kind of invidious distinction myself that really overlooks a lot of other kinds of categories and tries to talk about the worthy poor and the unworthy poor. But do you have, is there a sense of this in your social service providing that, oh, some of these people are just bums, or they,
oh, you
know, wild and crazy deadheads who want to run around and have
I think what happened, you know, what the, even among, you know, I'm on the board of the Homeless Coalition here, and even among the service providers who are part of the coalition, there's been a tension between those who think of love, so to speak, against, and have been against, you know, like, say, feeding programs is just enabling people to remain homeless,
mm-hmm,
and not hit bottom, therefore the person doesn't go for help. I think that's starting to reverse itself, because basically, as a meeting that I had to leave early, but some feedback I've gotten since then, of the coalition, I think some of those people who've been saying that are now kind of backing away from that because they realize that the Homeless Assistance Center, et cetera, is not going to solve the problem. We are going to have homeless people on the street. And, you know, my statement's always been, so you're not going to feed homeless people who don't go to the shelter, so what, we're trying to starve them into submission?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think the problem with the argument, you know, between the distinction, I kind of agree with you, between kind of those who can make a choice and those who can't make a choice, is the people who say that think that everybody can make a choice, you know, unless they are, you know, actively psychotic, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, a lot of the homeless folks have a lot of mental illness issues that would keep them from making that kind of a choice.
Well, I tend to go further. I feel that there are rights to, you know, civil rights people should have, even if they do make that choice. And sometimes it's a temporary choice, sometimes it's a lifestyle choice, which is not, you know, so easily...
Well, that's kind of what I've said to the count, to the Steve Woodman, who used to run a shelter here in Hollywood, which is a little town adjacent to Fort Lauderdale,
mm-hmm,
who now works for the county, and we had the same discussion. I said, well, you know, I'm not telling you that if a person chooses to be homeless, that you've got an obligation to feed and clothe and house them. I am saying that you've got an obligation to leave them alone.
Right.
Okay?
Well, now that's also becoming an issue here, because one of the most liberal council members on this is suggesting that if we allow people to sleep, but only if there are no shelter beds, and that this is sort of the, you know, the Miami approach.
Well, and that's basically what the approach is going to happen here.
What do you think of that idea?
Well, I think what's going to happen here is that there aren't going to be enough shelter beds, and you're going to wind up, you know, I think even one person from the city has indicated they might have to modify their arrest policy, because, you know, they're just, if you do the math, there's not going to be enough available beds, and that's even like counting people who don't go to one of the facilities because, you know, their choice. That doesn't include people whose facilities don't take because of whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do this? Can I call you back?
Sure.
Afternoon. What time is the meeting?
Actually, our meeting is at 4 o'clock.
Okay, well, I'll call you.
You know what I'd love to have you do, Janet, is type up a one-page letter that essentially summarizes this stuff and fax it to me.
Okay, what's your fax number?
Actually, you can fax it to me. You can also fax...
That was Janet Riley, who is on the legal aid team there in Broward County, which is a county in Florida, right next to Dade County. It's the county that has Fort Lauderdale. And this county is has got a situation where it is okay for people to sleep at night. It's provided that there are not shelter beds available. It is legal for people to be sleeping outside. In fact, the police are not allowed to ticket or harass them. We don't actually have the specifics from Hollywood, but we do have the Pottinger guidelines from Miami. Hollywood actually is one of the towns near Fort Lauderdale, both of them in Florida. And Janet Riley, who we were interviewing, I interviewed her in order to get information about an area where the sleeping ban was suspended. We've heard a lot of concerns about what would happen in an area if it was legal for homeless people to sleep. And apparently that's true throughout southern Florida, that it's become legal for people to sleep in the federal court area where Judge Atkins ruled in 1992 under the Pottinger decision that they couldn't be arrested unless there were shelter beds available or safe zones provided. We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Hi, you said on Sunday that you would talk about Baker and the Sweeney Valenzuela thing. I'd like to know what the Sweeney Valenzuela thing is.
You know, I did say that, caller. The problem is the information I was waiting for is supposed to come from former CPRB member John Malkin. And John, who is supposed to be available, has not yet made himself available. So I'm not really begging off on this because I don't have more information on it at this time. I'd be happy to talk about it when I do. In the meantime, I'm going to be talking about, you know, where it's legal for people to sleep and why we should make some changes here in the Santa Cruz sleeping ordinance.
Okay.
But when I get that information, please raise the question again. I'll be happy to bring it up. I'm not trying to duck the issue.
All right.
Thank you.
So, yeah, getting back to the question of Janet Riley, well, it's not the question of Janet Riley, it's the question of sleeping and the claims that are made by some politicians here, notably Councilmember Rotkin. I believe, I don't know if Mayor Byers has actually made this argument, though one wonders, and one is, I'm going to get into what actually has been going on with the task force, as I call it, to examine the camping ordinance. The argument is often made of the so-called magnet or mecca myth, that as I call it, the myth that people are going to come to town in great numbers if we let them sleep, because it's going to be such a wonderful place to be, our climate, our fine social services, the great food out of the free meal, just going to get masses and masses of people. And in Santa Cruz, what they use as an example is the Tent City that was open, the Coral Street Open Air Shelter, in its last month or two, when it was when it grew considerably from 60 to 100 up to 200, 250 to a lot of people. And that issue has to be addressed in terms of a tent city in a campground is, you know, it is indeed actually somewhat more inviting place than a street to sleep on. And indeed there should be inviting places for people who are outside. There should be places for people to sleep legally that have facilities and so forth. Not that the Coral Street Open Air Shelter had much in the way of facilities, but at least people could group together, they could leave their stuff there during the day, they could protect themselves from tents and or with tents from the rain and from the elements. And that's actually even, we're asking for even less from this city council. We were just asking if they allow people to sleep as a basic human right. We would deal with the shelter realities later, with the social service component later. Well, the reality has been that not only have the two council members elected by over 63% of the electorate on promises that they would make it decriminalize sleeping and do other things to restore basic human rights in Santa Cruz, gone back on their word and refused to advocate for this position, mainly because, in my view, they're trying to play real politic with Mayor Buckshot Byers, as I now call her. She's shooting the public process full of holes, making the decisions behind closed doors, refusing to allow a real debate or discussion on issues, and essentially trivializing the agenda in order to avoid, I guess, political controversy around the issue, to take a strong stand about the right of poor people to sleep in Santa Cruz. It's a basic human rights issue. It's not popular with some merchants, not popular in some neighborhoods. She doesn't want to offend those neighborhoods and those merchants, so it's going to continue to be criminal for homeless people to sleep throughout the summer, throughout the next year. She's got plans for a task force, another group, another committee, another commission. They'll meet and talk about it while people continue to get busted for sleeping. People continue to hide out and get beaten by troll busters. Nothing is going to be done about the basic core issue of the sleeping ban. This is what we've learned in the last three task force meetings, as I call them. And in a way, Byers sort of told us, sort of, this is what she was going to do. She began this process in December by saying, well, you know, I want to look at the fines. And then we pressed her and pressed her, and winter was coming on. And we reminded her that 2 years ago she favored a winter shelter emergency provision that would allow for the suspension of the sleeping ban and the camping ordinance in areas where there was, in a situation where there's no shelter beds in the winter, particularly in the winter armory sheltering. In the winter armory shelter, I'm sorry. Of course, she wouldn't bring this up again during the winter when it might make some sense, but now it's going to come up, like, let's say, at the end of February or March, when it will be completely meaningless for 8 months, and there will be no provision that will allow people to acknowledge the shelter emergency that exists even more intensely throughout the spring, summer, and fall, when there is less than 30 floor spaces on church floors for people to go to for more than 500 to 1,500 homeless people, 500 500, 1,500 homeless people that are, you know, the Santa Cruz homeless population. The rest, everybody else is illegal. Everybody else is threatened with a ticket under Municipal Code 6.36.010, which is the sleeping ban. Or if they have a tent, the camping ban. Or if they're covered up with a blanket, the blanket ban. We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on free radio.
Hi, Uncle Robert. It's David Silva.
Oh, it sounds like deadweight David Silva.
Deadweight. Thanks a lot, Robert.
Yes, David. How are you doing?
Well, not so great. I just came from the task force meeting. How could I be?
Well, you know, you probably heard my little rap on the task force, as I call it.
Yeah. You know, it's really funny. As I was leaving the task force, Keith Sugar says to me that, you know, he had been planning, you know, when Catherine had made her statement that she was going to do nothing that Monday, that he was, you know, planning on offering a, you know, 12-month year-round, you know, kind of formula if there is no shelter space, you know, for them not to be ticketed. But it's because of my bare bones, you know, proposal and him not being able to come forward, that thing has died. Now he's only left with this possible winter thing that he's suggesting, which he didn't bother to write up for the meeting.
Well, it doesn't sound like it's died at all. It sounds like he's making a choice to kill it. I mean, you know, Crone and Sugar could at any time bring forward their own minority proposal. In fact, on this committee, it would be a majority.
Well, you were there and I were there, and you saw that they both did nothing.
Exactly. They did nothing, and, you know, I found myself, I was upset.
But it's interesting to know that my, you know, begging for crumbs from the table has been turned into, you know, Keith's
excuse for doing nothing.
Not being able to have put forth such a wonderful, sweeping,
There were a number of us who did worry about, you know, the fact that you brought these proposals, which I know were brought forward in good faith.
Yeah, and now they're using my name on them. How dare they?
Right. Well,
don't put my name on those things.
You know, we should say callers, we should say listeners, you out there should understand, you're talking to David Silva, who did really a lion's share of the work in the committee to repeal the sleeping ban, which put forward the very reasonable proposal that people should be allowed to sleep and cover up with blankets in certain areas of the city, non-residential, non-beachfront areas, and we would add non-downtown areas.
And regulatable and non-regulatable zones.
Right, and we would make
Safe zones.
This would actually protect the neighborhood, so if a sleeper were in the neighborhood, an officer could wake up this individual and say, look, I'm not going to give you a ticket, but please go to a regulatable area, I mean a place where you are allowed to sleep. And that would be like an industrial zone, and maybe even the officer would give him a ride if that was necessary.
That would be a non-regulatable area.
It would be an area where it would be legal to sleep. And of course, this would, you know, if the person didn't move, they would get a ticket not for sleeping, but for failing to move when asked to do so. The difference between that and now, of course, is there would be actual areas for people to go to. And 3,000 people plus signed this petition for this initiative asking this to be put on the ballot, not just people, but registered city voters. And we put in months and months of work on this, and we had organizations endorse the initiative, the same organizations that endorsed Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar, came forward and asked, you know, that this be done. And Sugar, Fitzmaurice, and Crone, you know, came forward with these kind of statements. They weren't quite complete endorsements of the sleeping ban repeal initiative, but they stated that
they were, you know, some pretty strong statements. Like, I can't believe that the word sleeping is in here, and I just can't accept it.
Right.
Statements like that.
We need to decriminalize sleeping. There cannot be sleeping if there are no shelter beds. Blah blah blah, from Sugar, Crone, and Fitzmaurice.
But they're leaving the word sleeping in.
And we have the reality that they are on Catherine Byers' behind the scenes determination that she would not change the existing law. She would not support making it legal for people to sleep at night. They, like the good little doggies, are, you know, kind of trailing along behind Catherine. You know,
Did you read the letters to the Sentinel today? It seems like there's even more secret neighborhood meetings than we knew about.
I don't know. I don't know about that, but I know that I failed to ask Keith Sugar, about the garden shears and whether those balls hanging on Catherine's belt were his or somebody else's, you know, because I really, you know, I saw him stand up to her very strongly back in December. And, you know, not even stand up to her, but stand up, and he hoped that she would support him for the public health and safety amendment over the winter, saying that, you know, people should not be arrested for sleeping unless there's a real public health and safety concern. And it wasn't even to be a change in the law. It was just a directive to the police. And he was shot down by Rotkin and Byers. And instead of saying, whoa, look which way the wind is blowing, I guess I'm going to have to take a real stand on this issue. And Catherine, I may agree with you on other issues, but on this issue, I draw the line in the sand. Human rights is the issue. This, you know, great environmental environmental attorney, and his so-called neighborhood activist friend, Chris Cron, the other individual we voted for and we campaigned for around the beach flats, sold the homeless
house. This sleeping ban issue is not a year 2000 election issue. It's a year 1998 election issue,
well,
and we won.
You know, it, and
we won.
Yeah, we did win.
Over.
We won.
No.
But, of course, we didn't win it because,
obviously,
you know, it appears that we have the same kind of basic corruption and cowardice. It's certainly corruption of principle. I don't know if we'd call it economic corruption, but it is a corruption in listening to the voices of the wealthy, listening to the voices of the powerful, not willing to say, I'm not going to do this. I don't care how many votes I get or don't get on this. I'm not going to vote for essentially a form of fourth-class citizenship for a certain kind of person in our community. That's what Sugar, Crone, and I have to say Fitzmaurice, because I haven't heard him coming out, and Byers are all accepting. And it really... aggrieves me.
Well, their party line, at least.
Aggrieves me deeply. And I got to say also, David, that
I'm worried about the year 2000,
you know,
and we got to do this in increments.
I am concerned that we have to, I'm concerned about the situation here that, you know, I know you are well-intentioned trying to get a few crumbs from the table,
that's
but it is a mistake. I'm not entirely sure how I want to proceed on this, but I really think it is a mistake to give credibility to these people, because what they're doing is they're not just, you know, playing with the crumbs as though they were realities. And I mean, you know, if we give them attention and saying, this is bullshit, guys, you can't act like you're doing something when you're doing nothing. This is a form of fraud on the electorate. This is a form of coercion on homeless people. This is a form of a masquerade that you're playing on your own constituency. You know, and the problem when you provide you provide these kinds of suggestions to them, and when I go along with it too, I'm not gonna, you know, I sat through some of this shit myself. We are legitimizing what they are doing, and that is a real danger. I mean, you know, I think they need to hear the voice of their constituents. I mean, I heard it said that SCAN, for instance, Santa Cruz Action Network, the kingmaker in Santa Cruz for the last 20 years, the organization that elects the winning city council
candidates.
They were
there today.
They were there today, and I tried to, actually I have an interview with them. If I can find it, I will play it. It wasn't that you know, rousing an interview. I'd heard first that SCAN
Tom
had taken...
Shaver.
From Tom Shaver. Actually, I'd heard it from Sandy Brown, or I think I actually heard it from Bernice Belton via somebody else, another SCAN person, that SCAN had taken a radical position, that they essentially adopted Paul Brindell's notion. Paul Brindell is a community action shelter project service provider who said that not only should it be legal for people to sleep, but it should be legal for people to camp, period, unless there are shelter places for people to go. You cannot criminalize a person for raising a tent to protect himself from the rain unless you have some option for them. That simply is how it is in terms of basic human rights. And when CAB took that position, I heard that SCAN had also taken that position, but that sure wasn't what I heard.
Letter written by Nora Hochman for SCAN.
Did you get that letter?
And Tom Shaver gave that letter to them today.
Have you got that letter?
I haven't got a copy, but he gave it to the task force today.
Well, all I know is I am not hearing the kind of indignation and the kind of anger, and this is why I was upset.
This
is what I was upset with you and upset with others at that meeting for not essentially, you know, letting the council know that that's it. They aren't going to do the bottom line. We don't play their little game anymore. Their little game is a form of exhausting all of us.
Well, I know.
Deluding
the
public,
Robert, if they
know?
Get to the point where they start telling us that we're going to be in task force in April, then we know it's that we.
Well, they're at that point. We know that.
Yeah, I told you that way back in October.
Yes, you did.
When they're going to do this talks and all this stuff, but if they start telling us we're going to have workshops in April, then we know we.
Well, I'm not going to attack you.
And
David.
That's what they said today. They said we're going to have workshops in April.
Right. I'm not going to attack you because we need all the allies we can get.
Well,
and
I'm calling for a rotating boycott. I think we need to start really organizing around boycotting the Chamber of Commerce businesses, and really start sorting the wheat from the chaff in this town on this issue.
It's not the Chamber of Commerce's. It's the City Council. It's Byers, Crone, Fitzmaurice, Sugar, Rockin, Matthews, and Hernandez.
No, I think it's. Well, it may not be.
These are the people we elected who betrayed us.
Yeah, but if they're listening to the Chamber of Commerce, then we go after the Chamber of Commerce. If the Chamber of Commerce members are going to allow Schmidt to speak for them when there's some of them that are progressives, we need to sort that out. And we sort that out by doing a rolling boycott. We start off with coffee shops. We ended up with travel agents just around tourist season. And we can't stop.
Yeah. Well, see,
we got to organize.
I get upset when I see people talking friendly with any city council members. I begin to feel, and around this issue, it makes me uncomfortable. It makes me feel they're giving these people a way out. You know, I don't know what the best.
Well, I gave them a way out. I gave them a bunch of bones for them.
I know you did, and I'm worried about that.
I'm disgusted with it. I said so at the time that I introduced it, but you know, they already when I it seemed to me, you know, we could go Monday.
I pretty much
we're going to get nothing. And you know, and I jumped, and you praised me for being agile, and now we're both regretting it, and I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know that when
they're calling it David's proposal, how dare they? Don't put my name on that crap.
Well, I hope that you were as angry with Keith. I didn't see you as angry with Keith in the hallway as you are now, but I'm glad if you've become angry in the interim. I think that's important. I think when we are...
Well, I got angry with Keith when he started telling me that, when he started talking about, you know, election in 2000, and we have to be careful not to lose the majority, and they're afraid of recall. When he started that crap, I walked out. I mean, enough.
You mean he did this after I left?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, excuse me. I've been around the political block a long time, and I know what a coalition is, and I know when a coalition falls apart. And if he thinks that we need to appease the Chamber of Commerce to keep our coalition solid, that's a mistake.
So
that's how you lose. That's how you slip slide right back to the old liberal ways that was ruled this town with an iron fist. We need to, if we're going to have a progressive radical coalition, which is what we had, we need the radicals now need to like claim those out of those four seats that we have in 2000. We need to claim two of those for ourselves because we don't trust even the liberal progressives now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not falling for that crap that they're going to lose seats. All they need is one more seat and they'll have a super majority. You know, if they are really progressives.
Yeah, well, they're not on this issue. That's for sure. So you know, we had quite a nasty day there at the. At the task force, it was not at all unexpected.
Dealing with scraps and crumbs to the table for the homeless,
let's let the rich people drive off
in their Jaguar democracy is very, very frustrating, Robert.
Jaguar democracy, of course, refers to Catherine Byers and her Jaguar. You know, there are some people who think we're just a bunch of ranting radicals. And
it's very frustrating.
And the reality is, we have proposed a moderate proposal around the right to sleep at night. We've done minimum proposal.
We
got commitments from these council members, and they, in essence, have dumped the whole thing.
Every version they've dumped, except this.
Instead they propose
a clean version of making it less suable.
What they've done instead is they have, you know, talked about shortening the hours. Now it'll only be legal from 2 to 6, maybe. And they've talked about maybe setting up a winter shelter emergency. And
they're not really talking much about that.
You know, I think that what they're talking about. I was trying to decide if it's important to use them as a forum for. You know, exposing the falseness of what's going on and the criminality.
That's the only good thing about these crumbs and these bare bones is that it sort of underlines the real blatant parts of the whole ordinance. People will, when in debating whether or not someone is woken up at 11 o'clock or 8:30 a.m. or whether they're woken up at 2:30 a.m. In that debate, the city of Santa Cruz should become very debased, embarrassed, and we'll have the 23rd. Of February to debate that in a public hearing, and we'll have the 9th of March to debate that in a public hearing. And the city of Santa Cruz should come to a pretty big shame if we're quibbling.
Well, you know, I don't think we should wait for those forums to debate.
I think we should organize for them.
I think when Byers and Sugar and Crone and Fitzmaurice and any of these clowns appear in public, they should be called out and challenged on it. Because, in essence, there's not just a form of bad judgment happening here. There's a form of falsehood. There's a form of betrayal. And I also want to point out that, I mean, if you look at Byers, what Byers has done is she wouldn't even allow our sleeping ban repeal initiative to be discussed, even though she specifically promised that at this Thursday meeting that language could be discussed.
And what happened to the...
She lied about it.
If these people
are lying about process, if they're lying about agenda items, if they are engaging in secret decisions and deals behind closed doors...
The staff is killing articles in the Metro Santa Cruz. The staff is lying about numbers and calling us, going over to the press and telling
us... The staff will do what it does. But if the city council members that we elected are allowing this to happen, and if they are in fact continuing, then going back to their constituents and saying, oh, these crazy radicals, they're so wild and crazy, you know, we're doing wonderful things for the homeless, it just takes time, just takes a while, got to protect ourselves, blah, blah, blah. They're putting out this steady line of propaganda at private meetings with their constituents, and from which, you know, those of us who regularly attend the task force meetings are largely excluded, or at least not invited. What we have to do is, whenever these people occur, we have to do what we did before, which is to call them out on the streets. And that sometimes means speaking in a not-so-polite tone in front of a bunch of strangers and saying, oh, here's the woman who makes it illegal for people to sleep at night. This is Mayor Catherine Byers, everyone. Take a look at her. Take a look at her. Talk to the homeless people that are getting arrested and harassed because of her. And the same thing with Crone, and the same thing with Sugar. We have to make their lives, in this respect, public in terms of what they're doing.
You mean in February, the Don't Sleep Tonight night, they don't sleep?
I would say it's not Don't Sleep Tonight night. I would say every day and every time you find these people in public, call them out and explain to other people exactly what they're doing. Explain how they've betrayed the public and the homeless and even the simple public process.
If you get the ear of the public...
You get the ear of the 25 people who are around the sound of your voice, you know, and indeed it requires...
You know what I mean, Robert.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think you're going to get the ear of the public by standing up in a public forum and speaking in a nice little way and saying, I have these three amendments. That's not going to work, you know. I don't think that'll do it. But I think that what is going to do it is, I think what's going to do it is if we stand up wherever we find them and speak to the general community. So that...
That I think is what we need to do, and then we also need to fix this mic. And whoops.
Hi, caller.
Hi, Robert.
Hi, Bernardo. Listen, I think we lost our last caller, and I want to again make it clear that, and I think David's feeling upset, and properly so, because we ripped off big time. We need to stick with each other as much as we've been trying different strategies. I have the greatest respect for David and his
Well, then, I'm willing to hang up and let David call in if he wants to do that.
Sure, but I mean, we got to be aware also that this isn't entirely, you know, we're trying to get a variety of callers. So after you're finished speaking your piece, if whoever wants to call, we'll be able to call, no question.
So do you want me to hang up for a while?
No, I want you to say what you called to say about.
Well, I just wanted to, you know, to express my opinion and my position. I also felt very, very depressed in that meeting, you know, and I felt like I stood up, you know, and I said I was going to organize against this. I told Christopher Daff, you remember.
Well, you know, I think what we should do to let people know what's going on, we're talking about a meeting that nobody who's out there listening except a few of us went to. We're talking about an hour-long meeting of the task force to examine the camping ordinance. It was run by Catherine Byers with Councilmembers Crone and Fitzmaurice there. There were about 15 of us in the room in the audience. And the issue was wording of the camping ordinance. And what was not on the agenda was what everyone in the room wanted to be on the agenda, what Mayor Byers had promised would be on the agenda, namely the wording of the sleeping ban repeal ordinance, which 3,000 people signed up and voted, at least signed it, wanted to see on the ballot, and which, you know, organization after organization endorsed for the council candidates. We knew that Catherine Byers did not support this wording. What we did not know was A, why, and B, we did not know the positions of Crone and Fitzmaurice on this very important initiative. They have refused to clarify what their positions are. And this has to be because they are afraid that if they do, they will reveal themselves as sellouts. That's S-E-L-L-O-U-T, sellouts. And this is what went on in the task force. Instead of talking about substantive issues, Christopher Crone came back with a series of minor amendments, many of them proposed by David Silva, and again, proposed in good faith by David, who tried to get what he could out of the situation when he saw that Catherine Byers was saying, no change in the sleeping provisions, but we'll throw you some little bones and little pieces of this and little pieces of that, but, you know, no real changes. When he saw that, he tried to take some action. Some of us thought, you know, that was wrong because we should have all stood together. But, you know, we don't know exactly what to do or how to proceed. I mean, you know, it's different people have appropriately different judgments. And he came up with these ideas. Council members Crone and Sugar had their proposals. So did Mayor Byers. The proposals were fundamentally extremely minor changes, like changes in the hours. Should the word
blanket be struck from one section, but it would still would be illegal. You know, it'd still be illegal to have a sleeping bag. So I suppose if you have only a blanket and you're, you know, say only half freezing, but if you have a sleeping bag and you try to get a little warmer, that's illegal. A series of preposterous distinctions which they were trying to make. Which I mean, you know, Sandy Brown walked out of these meetings, you know, two meetings ago. She properly decided. She's a social service provider with the shelter project, who realized that Christopher Crone and Keith Sugar are not listening. Catherine Byers is not listening either, but she, you know, she didn't have to listen from the beginning. So anyway, what happened at this meeting was a series of trivial amendments, and they tried to draw in the discussion of the group as though we should all be interested and involved in a series of trivial amendments. It's, you know, like, well, the classic thing is rearranging the deck furniture as the Titanic sinks. You know, but worse than that, these people had committed themselves to another course, and so they were lying about what was going on. The whole thing was fraudulent, and that's why I was so upset throughout the process. We need to have mobilized anger against this. Productive, creative, educational anger. That's my feeling. What do you think, Brian?
Okay, let me talk now.
You better talk now.
Yeah. Well, you know, no, you're articulating it right, Robert, but I just want to let you know, I want to talk about Keith, you know, and I normally...
Keith Sugar?
Yeah,
Council member Keith Sugar?
Yeah, please don't cut me off, okay?
I'm sorry.
I normally don't... I think when I like to organize, I like to move against the system, and I generally don't like to talk about personalities,
because
I think that's just liberalism. However, I'm going to proceed from my normal diatribe.
You're
going to
diverge. Eh?
Right. My wife came up to me from the last council meeting, and she said, I was out in the lobby, Bernard, and Keith walked out there, and this homeless man, or this man that was just really, I guess, rowdy or whatever, you know, wanted to talk to Keith. And you, Robert, you know, tried to talk to Keith to talk to him. And Keith said no, you know. And my wife, you know, was just blushed. She could not believe it. You know, she couldn't believe it if, you know, unless she'd seen it with her own eyes.
When was this?
This was at the council meeting.
Uh-huh. You know, can I amend that? Can I tell you what I saw of that incident?
Sure.
If you're talking about Frank's Larry Cessna, the man who was beaten by troll busters, had his stitches in his head.
I don't know the name of the man.
Well, it could be another person. I know that I asked Keith during that meeting to come out and talk to a homeless person. He agreed to do so, and he did. He came out and he spoke to Larry Cessna. Unfortunately, what he said to him was not particularly helpful. Larry was saying, look, I am on parole. The police, because I complained that they did not file a proper report about my beating, have issued me a special public intoxication ticket 2 weeks later that now means I will be sent back to prison. This is a form of punishment for my speaking up about a hate crime against the homeless, a beating that happened, and that, you know, that I publicly spoke up for. What are you going to do about it? And Keith had no answer but some jokes and some sort of, you know, some little asides, and just sort of, you know, oh well, you know, his, in fact, the thing he said to Larry Cessna was kind of, he had no focus on the issue that Larry brought up. He just said, well, you said something about my looking around the chambers not paying attention to you. Keith's entire focus in that was on his own himself, criticism about himself, his own behavior. The issue is when
he weighed.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same man. My wife said that Keith said that man's angry, and I don't want to talk to him.
I see. Well, it could have been another man.
So, yeah. But tonight, you know, Robert, again, you know, Keith, you know, didn't want to talk to you about substance. He wants to talk to you about your anger.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's out of place.
Right.
He represents angry constituents, happy constituents. He has to represent the people, and he's got to talk to all kinds of people with all kinds of different feelings.
It is true, and I said to him, you know, I said, if not now, Keith, then when? When are you going to stand up for the right for people to sleep at night? Or when are you going to say, I'm not going to stand up for the people to write? Show some guts. Be honest and candid about what your situation is. Say what, you know, your real position is. And he just, you know, I'm afraid it's not a big issue to him. And
okay.
It's a sad thing.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, it's time, you know, that we don't treat him too kindly, too, because he doesn't treat us kindly. You know, he never even says hello to me anymore.
Yeah, it's not even a personal thing. I mean, Keith may not like the way we go after him, and I can understand that. We're pretty angry with Keith. You know, but again, that's part of what you get when you become an official, and I think it's also the reality that it's the issue. It's his failure to address the issue. He can hate me or dislike me all he wants, and he has a right to have his feelings, whatever he feels toward me, he feels. But he has an obligation to address the issue, in my mind. And in not standing up and saying to Catherine Byers in the task force meeting today, Catherine, I would like to make a statement about what I think the language should be. And the language should include, you shall not be arrested for sleeping unless there is a legal place to sleep 12 months a year. Not just in the winter, if there's a winter shelter emergency declared. Not just if the armory is full and they certify it and when they pass all that. No, but any time that the police move to arrest someone because simply for sleeping, that cannot be done unless there is no place for that person to go. He could have said that. He could have said that as a minority position. I think he believes it, actually. But he hasn't got, I don't want to necessarily say the courage, maybe it's not the wisdom, maybe he's made a decision to act otherwise, but I think it's a pernicious decision.
I think he's influenced by people that are interested in raw power.
In any case, you know, we're talking about these guys, and in a way, we have to return to the issue. The issue, we had hoped to work through these people, but it seems that that is not possible.
Well, Robert, I think the first thing that needs to be done is that we need to get out a unified response, you know, to these council people, that what they're going to propose, you know, or the tentative proposal, that what we've seen today is just not acceptable. And we ought to give a few reasons. That should be done right away so that they can't go around, their little activist buddies, you know, and they'll start saying, you know, that everybody's accepted this diatribe. And that's what exactly they're going to do.
Oh, yeah. No question about it.
So we need to get out a unified statement, and I'd like to ask you, you know, to do the organizing on that, because I don't have the time, but I think David would be willing to help you with that also.
That's a good idea, Bernard. Anything else you want to propose on this?
You know, I think that the next task force meeting, that we ought to really stand strong, get them to talk about our initiative, and that's the only subject that they're going to be able to discuss, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thank you, Bernard.
You're welcome, and today has been a really, really down day, because I know that we have been co-opted, you know, and I don't like that.
Thank you, Bernard.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is the Sunday, no, we're on Thursday, the Thursday edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides, as you're confused.